Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, sponsored by 1-800-DIALDJs.com and recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new media and American League Baseball capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Freshman year.
Hello, Van Wilder, chairman of freshman relations, self-appointed.
Yeah!
Well, well, Mr. Wilder, while you're here, you'll follow Reardon's rule. No drinking and no party, period. Woo! More girls. More beer.
You wouldn't happen to have a pale ale on tap, would you?
Freshman year.
I bet you've never had to work a hard day in your life.
Depends on what you mean by hard.
Van Wilder, freshman year, coming soon on DVD.
When I was a freshman at the University of Miami way back in 1978, Animal House was fresh and it was all the rage, and all the coolest guys on campus wanted to be like Otter, played by Peter Rieger. He knew all the girls, glided through school, and was envied by all the guys. Well, it's 30 years later, and damn, where did the time go? And now all the young college dudes want to be like another National Lampoon character, Van Wilder. There have been two Van Wilder movies and two talented actors who played the smooth, suave young dude, Ryan Reynolds, whatever happened to him, and my guest tonight, Jonathan Bennett, who starred in National Lampoon's Van Wilder freshman year. Now, a heavy responsibility befalls the man who wears the crown of a guy like Van Wilder, the model of horny, party-going young men everywhere. But I suspect young Master Bennett can handle the pressure. He's made a cottage industry of being second to step into time-honored roles, including starring as Beau Duke in The Dukes of Hazzard: The Beginning. You may have also seen him in Mean Girls as Lindsay Lohan's boyfriend, in Bachelor Party Vegas opposite Cal Penn of Harold and Kumar and House fame, or in the Steve Martin movie, Cheaper by the Dozen 2, as Bud McNulty, Steve's son-in-law. But this week, he faces a real challenge. Saturday night, September 19th at 8 p.m., he'll be the celebrity host of Acme Comedy Theater's Acme Saturday Night. Jonathan, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, but I'm not you.
Well, you know, it's not that good being me. It's not that good. People say that all the time, and I say, yeah, it's all right. My dog just peed on the floor, so I came home to my dog. There's pee all over my floor. So we'll just start there. But that's all right. That's all right.
Nobody wants to hear that you've got a dog who's as out of control as our dogs.
You want to know that my life is perfect. Yes, yes. Yes, it's perfect.
Of course.
My house with the picket fence and the dogs running in the yard. It's perfect.
and you have people from the movie studio who run around your house making everything perfect for you, right? Isn't that the dream?
Absolutely. That's, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when I get dressed this morning, no matter what I'm doing, wardrobe comes from Paramount and gives me some of Van Wilder's clothes to wear every morning. They're all steamed and pressed and perfect.
That has got to be so tough to live down being a Van Wilder.
It's pretty tough
living down the fact that you played Van Wilder.
Oh,
I'm
I know. Well, you know, it's one of those things. It's one of my favorite roles I've ever played, probably the favorite role I've ever played, because that character is so liberating. You can do anything you want with it, and there's so much room to just like add things that you're like, well, a guy wouldn't. If I was talking to a guy in the middle of a scene, he wouldn't just reach over and, like, grab a girl's boob and then grab a drink and start drinking it. Like, no one does that, but Van Wilder does. Like, yeah, that's what he does. There's no telling what he's going to do. So, yeah, it was a really, really good time shooting it. But definitely has big shoes to fill. But I'm very, very happy with my performance in it. I'm not trying to be Ryan Reynolds. A lot of people say, because Ryan made that character such a who he is. So there are certain things you have to do when you play the character that keep him true to what Ryan created, because you never want to go away from that. But I try to make him a more youthful, innocent Van Wilder.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ryan, you're playing freshman year. Ryan played him later on.
Yeah.
I got to ask, I'm not even going to beat around the bush. Will you play Van Wilder again?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, for sure. Yes, there are more Vans to be. There are more Vans down the pipeline. So there will be. I think I'm the only other Van that will happen.
Very, very, very Van cool. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know, I mean, you look very comfortable in the part. You might as well play it up while you got that youthful look.
Well, that's what I said. I will play Van Wilder until I'm 90. I love that character that much. We can do Van Wilder the senior years and do it in the retire home for all I care. I love that character so much.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, that could be your retirement right there. You could just live off of Van Wilder.
There you go.
I got to ask you, now, not a lot of young actors would be comfortable stepping into the role that another actor made you seemingly indelible, but you've done it at least twice. What goes into your decision making? When this came up, what made you say yes?
Well, because what made me say yes is the fact that these are, for Dukes of Hazzard, I replaced Sean William Scott, and in essence, I replaced Ashton Kutcher in Super Brother Dozen 2, that same character, just a different person, kind of. But with Bo Duke, like, when your agent calls you and asks you, do you want to be Bo Duke in the Dukes of Hazzard and drive to General Lee, like, you're an idiot if you say no. That's where that decision came from. I didn't care about replacing Sean William Scott. I didn't care about any of that stuff. Like, I just wanted to drive the General Lee and be Bo Duke. Like, what a great summer to just drive around in the car and slide across the hood and do all that fun stuff. So I didn't even care about the replacement issue with him. And then with Ryan, a lot of times in my career, different producers and the casting people, whenever they're talking about me or, like, saying things, his name comes up a lot. So there's some connection there where, I'm no way – shape or form trying to be like Ryan Reynolds, but we have some similarities and things like that. And I think they when the opportunity came to play this role, I was like, you know what, that would be a really fun opportunity, and it'd be 90 minutes of me just being funny, which is what I really wanted. So finally show off some of the comedy chops.
Well, really, I mean, that's the thing that strikes me is that, I think you've stepped into a tremendous situation here where you're comfortable doing this, you appreciate, you're having a good time, you're getting paid for having a good time.
Yeah.
And listen, it's an unusual path up the ladder, but it's obviously working for you.
Yeah. It's such a good, it's just, I wanted to show people that I could be funny. And I think I think Van Wilder is a great, little showcase for that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking that Bo Duke was an easier choice maybe than Van Wilder, because the first Dukes movie was probably only memorable for the car and Jessica Simpson and the Daisy Dukes.
Yeah, were there other people in that movie?
Yeah, right.
Well,
exactly.
Willie Nelson,
both, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He was an ours. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, forget about your Daisy. You worked with Sherilyn Fenn, who would be
Well, it's funny because Sherilyn Fenn played my stepmom on my Law & Order SVU, which is an episode I did, my first guest star on a TV show, back in, 2000.
Really?
She played my stepmom, who I was having an affair with. And so cut to now, 6 years later, we're shooting Dukes of Hazzard, and we see each other, and we just are like, oh, my God. And then Randy Wayne, who plays Luke, he actually has the affair with her in that movie, and he came up to me all excited when we were shooting it, I get to have a sex scene with Sherilyn Fenn, and without missing a beat, I was like, been there, done that. Like, it was just like, it was just really funny. It's so funny because I tend to work with the same people. Like, a lot of the same people I've worked with before are in all the same stuff with me. So it's kind of cool.
Well, I picked up on that, actually. Tell me if I'm right about this. In Cheaper by the Dozen, you worked, I think, for the second time with Tom Welling because you did an episode of Smallville, right?
I worked with Tom in Smallville and in Cheaper, and then I worked with Aaron Himmelstein, a really funny actor, in Bachelor Party Vegas and in a movie called The Assistants, and we both were guest stars on the same Boston Public episode way back in the day. That's where we first met, and then we did two movies together after that, and there's a lot of crossovers.
I suspect you will be the first actor that my 13-year-old and I will agree on, because when she saw your picture and saw who I was talking to tonight, she said, he was Lindsay Lohan's boyfriend in Mean Girls. And I said, yeah. And I said, you know what else? He was in another movie you love. And I showed her your IMDb page. She said, oh, my God, Cheaper by the Dozen. She knew exactly who you were. And
I know,
you know, I'm
like
an old man now. But
that, well, that's what I say. I say I'm the biggest that guy there is. So I'm the biggest. It's that guy. That guy from that. You know, that guy. Yeah. That's, there I am.
That guy. Hey, let me ask you. We started a little later than planned. Do you have a little extra time? Can we go past the half hour, or do you need to be somewhere?
I can talk a little more. Yeah.
Okay, good. Can I have a couple more things?
Watching this, 525. Yeah, we can go just over a little.
Okay, good, good. Because I know we want to talk about Acme, but I want to talk to you about a couple more things before we get to that point. Now, Bachelor Party Vegas, and all these movies, this is my kind of stuff. I mean, I'm American Pie guy, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Lampoon, all that kind of stuff. Tell me about Bachelor Party Vegas. I'm gonna rent that. It sounds like a lot of fun. You and Cal Penn.
Oh, yeah, it's a great movie. It's about this guy, Nathan, who I play, who his friends Cal Penn and Donald Faison take him to, with a couple other friends, Aaron Himmelstein and some other people, take him to Vegas for his bachelor party, and the hilarity ensues. And I can't tell you too much about it because it's kind of like one of those movies where you just have to watch it because it is funny, but it's a movie that actually has a little bit of a heart to it. I say it's a movie with heart disguised as a raunchy comedy.
All right, well, American Pie was like that. I can buy into that.
Exactly.
And Vincent Pastore from The Sopranos was in that too, wasn't
he? He plays the casino guy.
I'm guessing that's one of those ones where the final movie could suck, but you probably had a blast making it and probably wouldn't care one way or the other.
Exactly. We didn't give a shit if the movie turned out. Like, we didn't care. But it turned out great, and we're happy with it. We shot in Vegas for 5 weeks. So being with Cal Penn and Donald and all those guys in Vegas for 5 weeks, like, right there, I said we probably would make a crazier movie if we would roll the stuff that we didn't shoot. You know, if we were filming the stuff that wasn't at work. So it was fun.
And we talked briefly about Cheaper by the Dozen, too. I don't know how much time you would have actually been around Steve Martin in that movie. But
are you
I
kidding?
Wanted to...
How much, or how much time I would have around him on set?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I worked with him every single day.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to ask.
Every scene together. So he's like one of my iconic, you know, character actors. And he, anywhere from, you know, Steve to John Candy, Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase, that whole group is the guys that I grew up watching, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Christmas Vacation, all those movies are my all-time favorites. So so getting the opportunity to work with Steve just blew my mind. I was so excited. I had a great time shooting with him. And just I remember one day I showed up to set, and I went to go sit in my cast chair. They have chairs for all the cast members with their names on it where you can, like, kind of chill out between takes. And I went to sit in my chair, and as I was walking up to it, I noticed that right next to my chair was Steve Martin's chair. And it was just one of those moments that hit you as an actor. Like, you've worked so hard and worked your whole life. And, like, you know, work on your craft and like move yourself forward, and then to show up on set and have your chair sitting next to Steve Martin's, it was just really, really, really a cool feeling.
And what do you pick up from being around a guy like that on movie set?
You learn how to treat people. You learn how You learn how to it's like I feel like there's a lot of young people out there these days that are just jerks, just big jackasses, and they don't know what they're doing. They're not talented. They're not good. They don't know their ass from a hole in the ground, basically. But they show up to set and they think to be a star and to be a celebrity, you know, you have to kind of act a certain way and be mean to people and, you know, be an asshole and stuff. And I think, you know, that's the farthest thing from the truth, because if you actually have talent and are very comfortable with yourself and very secure with yourself, you don't have to, you don't have to go around making a lot of noise to have yourself respected and heard, which is someone like Steve. You know, Steve shows up to set and he's just like the coolest guy to work with and just so chill and mellow and treats everyone with respect and he's the way movie stars should be. Not any of these like young, especially all of these like young guys that are kind of my age that I've worked with before, and they're just disgusting. Because, I mean, it's 3 months of your life. Do you want to make it miserable, or do you want to make it, you know, a good experience? So, you know, a lot of people in Hollywood these days, especially the young girls and the young guys, have real attitude problems that need adjusted.
Interesting. And then the flip side, I think, maybe not, but Mean Girls, Lindsay Lohan, and I'm thinking, I don't actually have a question here. I'm just kind of imagining being young and in your shoes. As my daughter said, he got to make out with Lindsay Lohan. But I don't know how that movie, that experience of being on the set with her, all the things that you hear, you know, out in the public.
Well, you know,
I'm guessing it's very different.
I don't really know. When I worked with her, when I worked with Lindsay, she was great. I think I worked with Lindsay before she kind of got all the pressure from all the fame. So my experience was fine. I just didn't, like, I think all the fame and stuff that's been happening is what really got to her. Not in like an ego way, but in like the pressure, which I think made her kind of spiral a little bit, not having the right supervision. And I don't know. She's great. When I worked with her, I haven't really kept in touch with her since then. So,
You tell a story. I saw a YouTube clip where you tell a story about your audition with her.
Oh, yeah.
Can we get you to repeat that?
Yeah. We auditioned for the role. I went to the screen test, and there were me and a few other guys there up for my role. And in the screen test, we were sitting there, and I did the scene with Lindsay, and it's a scene where I think I hit on her in math class. And when I did it, she gave me a smile, and I actually blushed on camera, and then she blushed back. So the director was freaking out. He's like, the two leads are actually blushing on camera. Like, perfect, yes, this is the one. Like, it just kind of happened. So that was really cool.
And guys will kill me if I don't ask you this question, but You do get to make out with Lindsay Lohan in Mean Girls before all this other crap happened in her life. I guess everyone is probably wondering the same thing. Was that pretty cool at the time or what?
Of course. Lohan, she's, you know, that's what I say. There's not the, you know, she's just being in her presence. She's got a very powerful presence, you know. So it's a good time.
And there was another very important woman who was on that set, and she wrote the movie, Tina Fey.
Never heard of her. Before, just kidding.
Yeah, right. That was before 30 Rock, of course. How was she to be around, and what could you possibly have learned from that experience with her?
Tina Fey is one of the smartest women in Hollywood, and she is really, 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 really great to be with on set, because You can tell the writers versus the actors. I feel that Tina's more of a writer than she's an actor. Not that her skills are any different, but I feel like that's where her heart is in the writing side of it. So it's kind of fun. Like when we were shooting Mean Girls, she wasn't nervous on set, but there's like people that are like, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, actresses and stars, and want like all the attention. And Tina doesn't, and that's kind of the charming quality of her.
Hmm. Well, I want to change gears in 1 second and talk to you about Acme. I'm just curious. You said that there will be more Van Wilder movies. I'm also wondering what else. What are you working on now? What are you doing the next?
I have a movie coming out on Valentine's Day on the Hallmark Channel with Lacey Chabert from Mean Girls called Elevator Girl, and then I have a movie called Slightly Single in L.A. that we're starting very soon. Within the next hopefully month or so, we'll be starting that with some actors in it, and I can't really say who it is yet because no one's been locked down. But it'll be kind of like a comedy coming of age story. It'll be good.
Okay. Very good. And now, of course, this Saturday night, 8 p.m., you're hosting Acme Saturday Night at the Acme Comedy Theater in Los Angeles. What have they got cooked up for you? What will you be doing?
Well, we just shot one of the digital shorts like this afternoon, and let me just say, there is some funny, funny stuff in this show. We have some crazy skits, anything from I play a Russian salesman to a 12-year-old kid. Like, there's some really funny stuff in this show, and it's gonna be hysterical. The whole cast has been talking. They're like, this is gonna be a hot show. All the sketches are really hot this week. Like, it's a good show. It's gonna be hysterical.
What will Jonathan Bennett fans see if they come out? What will they see that might
surprise
them?
They're gonna see if hopefully everyone will come and see it and hang out with us after the show. That's what I'm hoping, is everyone will come and see it and just, we'll all go out and, I don't know, go to the restaurant next door and, have a drink or something. I think they'll see a lot of different sides of me that they've never seen before. No one's ever seen me really do a lot of shtick and do a lot of, goofball stuff. And that's what you're going to see in this. And I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised on their side of not just the hot guy in the classroom in Mean Girls, you're going to see a whole array of my skills.
And will you be spoofing any of your roles Saturday night?
No, we're not going to spoof any roles, but they're going to spoof me a little, so it'll be pretty funny.
Got it. All right, and finally, can you, and I like to ask this of everyone who's doing Acme, can you offer us kind of an out-of-context line of dialogue from your show Saturday?
An out-of-context line of dialogue out of the show. Yes, how about this one? There's so many good ones. I want to think of a good one. How about, she's my favorite Disney princess. I love her. I want to marry her. She's hot.
Okay. Well, the good thing here is, folks, if you can't make it to the theater, and I hope you will, and you can order tickets online at acmecomedy.com, but if you can't make it to the show, you can see Jonathan live on your computer at acmecomedy.tv.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, just because you don't live in L.A., you can't make it to L.A., but you're dying to see Jonathan, you can see him online Saturday night. It's 8 p.m. Pacific, so it'll be 11 o'clock back here on the East Coast. Check it out. And, Jonathan, you've been a real, real good sport. It's been fun to hear you. I'm looking forward to catching up on a number of your films now that I've certainly Bachelor Party Vegas sounds like my kind of movie. I will be renting that this weekend.
Yeah.
My pleasure. Good luck Saturday night.
Thank you. I hope to see everybody there.
All right. You take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, folks, for more interviews with your favorite actors, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with Kirk Douglas, Billy Bob Thornton, Ali Sheedy, Milo Ventimiglia, Patti LuPone, Leah Thompson, and many more. And please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites. Whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, TrueSlant, Pointer Online, Digital Journal, Vox, MediaFly, Podfeed.net, Blueberry, Zencast, Zimbio, Current, or Odeo. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. Or subscribe to Mr. Media's blog on the Amazon Kindle Reader. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. That's A-N-D-E-L-M-A-N. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day and spend it with us. Thanks for listening, everybody.